Gaming Uncensored is brought to you by Colonel Duff. Duff, helping a random handicapped guy in the middle of nowhere. Only on Gaming Uncensored.
Controlling transmission.
Divided by a thousand miles of barren wasteland, two men mysteriously linked by alien technology on a podcasting mission to boldly deliver video game news and views directly to your brain. This is Gaming Uncensored. Now, your Gaming Uncensored guides, the dynamic duo, the video game gurus, a man on wheels, and a Yeti with a modem, Jamie and Tommy.
Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls. How you doing? My name is Jamie Jordan, and this is an old school Saturday edition of Gaming Uncensored. And Tommy's sitting over there. What's up, dude?
It's been a while since we've done a Saturday show. That used to be the routine, and routine is out the window the past month or so. So here we are.
The stuff we're gonna talk about is gonna make y'all feel like it's 2005 again. Not that young, and we don't look that good anymore, but we're gonna fake it.
You know what? I think both of us look better today than we did in 2005. I think we're both better looking dudes than when we started this show. I know I am.
I'll give you that. I'll take that. I ain't afraid of that.
Yeah.
I have this thing that I tell people when I introduce myself to people like that my brother does business with or whatever. I tell his clients that I am the less successful, better looking brother. You know, because you've met my brother. My brother is slowly losing his hair. And that's part of the reason I have this. Because he can't do this. And he really feels like this needs to be my look all the time.
I like it too. I'm with him on that.
All right. Fair enough. Well, I will tell you this. We got to get pictures while you are here over Christmas. Because by the time you get here, I'm just letting it go. I'm not going to trim it. I'm not going to do anything. It's going to look pretty good.
There you go. By
the time you get here. So
I like it.
Yeah. So we got a lot of stuff to talk about this week. A lot of discussion going on. We had the Game Awards. We got the Matrix. Why don't you tell everybody else what's going on the show this week?
Those are the big things. Game Awards and the slew of announcements that come from that every year now. That's just become a thing where we have the Game Awards that has a ton of announcements that come with it. So we've got some big ones. Not like blockbuster announcements this year, but some really intriguing ones. So I'm really excited to talk about some of the announcements. We'll obviously talk about the award winners too, which are interesting. Game of the Year was, I think, pretty shocking and something that we must play, apparently. So that's going to be the bulk of it. If we have time, I'll go ahead and give you a little tease of the show notes. So go by GamingUncensored.com to check out the show notes. Ubisoft is officially all about the NFTs. They have launched their NFT system, Ubisoft Quartz, with Ghost Recon. So we'll talk a little bit about that. We've got a few other things that we'll see. Sony's planning on a Game Pass of their own. Well, yeah, if we get to that, we'll talk about it, but good to know. But it's going to be primarily Game Awards, so yeah, be prepared for that.
Couple of things, just a small thing that I want to mention that I saw that has nothing to do with the actual Game Awards, but it was on the Game Awards, and I didn't understand, and I wanted to know if you understood, because our buddy Jeff, we like Jeff, and Jeff has to get this thing paid for, and so we understand, but this thing had a ton of commercials.
It did.
And, And one of the commercials that this thing had was a commercial with the folks at Microsoft explaining to all of us, in case we didn't know, that there was a PC version of Game Pass.
Yes.
Like, I don't know how much money that they spent getting those people that they got.
Yeah.
But I'm like, was that really necessary?
Yeah.
It just was awkward.
Yeah, it was. I actually thought the marketing idea was clever about PC Game Pass, of like, nobody realizes that this is on PC, which if you have a PC, you realize it's on PC, but they're trying to sell PCs too. That's in Microsoft's interest as well. So whatever. But to me, like, so the premise was fine. The execution was not my favorite, but the thing that really got me, I don't know who those people are. And I don't know if I'm supposed to. Like,
no idea.
Are they people we should know? Or are they like, was it like being dumb or what? Like, I just don't know. Like, I'm at that age where I am disconnected from like youth culture enough that like, I'm just like, maybe I should know who these people are, but I have no clue. Maybe if I knew who they are, I would think this was funnier, but I just didn't know.
I feel better because you're in the music industry. Yeah. And so I'm watching this and I'm going, okay, he knows who these people are. I have no idea who these people are. And so we're going to get on the air and he's going to go, dude, you're supposed to know who that guy is. I no idea whatsoever.
Yeah.
I have no clue.
I am Googling it right now to see if I could figure it out and know better. So it's Lil Dicky and Gata. I am no further along than I was 2 minutes ago.
Okay, first of all, the name Lil Dicky. And I realize Lil Dicky is a rapper, and so we're probably going to end up in a clapback rap or something. But dude, can you not come up with a better name than Lil Dicky?
He came to prominence in 2013 with the music video for his song Ex-Boyfriend. Nope. Okay. No clue.
None whatsoever.
Like, he's got a billion songs out there, apparently, is a thing. But, yeah, I had a clue in the world who that dude was. Or Gata, who is also a rapper who is also in the TV series Dave. And I don't know.
I feel so much better. Like, I feel vindicated because I was like, Tommy's going to throw me under the bus because this is what he does. He's in the business. I'm totally going under the bus. I feel way better now.
Yeah. No, I mean, it just is more evidence that we're just both old. So, you know, it is what it is at this point.
Right. And like, the other example of that is I figured out who Ariel Powers was. Okay. Like, I figured that right. out. But here's my thing with that. Like, it's cool that she's there. It's cool that she's into gaming. But does she need to break in every 5 minutes? Like, is that really necessary? Yeah. I don't really understand that.
And who was the dude that was with her?
Some streamer guy that I did not know.
Yeah.
So here's my question, and then we'll get into the good stuff of the Game Awards, because it was really pretty good.
Yeah.
But Jeff's an old guy like us, right? Like, Jeff's an old guy like us, and if we could get Jeff to answer any, we should send him an email right now, because I would like to ask him, like, dude, let's be honest for like 5 minutes. Do you know who these people are, or do you have a group of people telling you, you got to get this person, you got to get that person, and this person over here? Say, like, I don't know. Like, Jeff is our age.
Yes.
I have my doubts.
And there was a moment with Jeff where he gave it away, too, because they did this weird, there were so many little weird things about the whole thing. Like, it's gotten so corporate Which, yeah, whatever. Like, fine. Jeff he has make.
To do that. Like, I get it.
Good for him. But, like, they did this thing with Spotify where they were like, here are the top artists that were streamed on consoles. I was like, who cares who that? Anyway, he was naming them off, and he mentioned XXXTentacion, who I couldn't tell you anything he does, but I recognize him and I know the name enough. Specifically to know, I may have mispronounced it just then, but I know Jeff butchered it when he was reading off the names. I don't remember what he said, but it was just, I was like, I don't know what it is, but I know it's not that. I know that that was wrong. Like, and that was the moment when I was like, you and me, Jeff, kindred spirits, you know, I see you trying, but you don't have any clue who these people are either.
Yeah. And like, I give him props because he got huge names, and there's old people, references in here too. I mean, we're going to talk about Sting, and we're going to talk about Imagine Dragons in a minute. So he was holding it down for the old guys. I understand that. And I really appreciate that. But man, it was just, like, first of all, and we're just kind of in it now. We just kind of we skipped the banter at the beginning of the show, yes. and now we're just in it. But like, first of all, the show was 3 hours and 57 minutes. It took me 2 days to watch the freaking thing.
I literally just got through it this afternoon while little girl was taking a nap. I was sitting there watching the end of the Game Awards.
I feel so bad because this is the industry that I love and I will love it for the rest of my life. But 3 hours and 57 minutes.
Yes.
Like, that's insane.
That's insane. It is just wild. But it was good overall. So let's get into it. But first, let me say thank you to the Patreon guys here at the close to the top of the show. Thank you, Kevin, Jose, Narc, Duff, Josh, Hector, Spider, Spencer, Kavosh, Chad, Zeke, Chris, Brigham, Sam, and Andrew. We appreciate your support a ton. It helps us to keep doing this show and to play games once in a while, which hopefully we're going to get to do pretty soon.
But I had to mention that. I am so proud of us. And I should have opened the show with that because we have played at least a portion of a lot of the games that we're fixing to talk about.
Yes.
Not all of them.
But we definitely haven't finished all of them.
Right. But we've played a portion.
We have done better. Yeah. We are improving. That is the spirit.
This is the first year that it's been that way. And I don't even want to know how much of your money we spent to make that happen, because we've spent a lot of money to make that happen. But I actually, for the first time in a while, I actually feel relevant, like that we can actually talk about this stuff because we've got some time, and not everything, but a lot.
Yeah. Yeah, like you said, it was 3 hours plus, and so we're not going to get to everything here, but we will definitely hit the highlights, things that stuck out to us. So let's do this first. Let's focus on announcements, and then we'll get into to the awards. Or do you want to do it the other way around? I think the awards.
I don't care.
Let's focus on the announcements first. And so there were just a billion of them. So I'm just going to ask you, as opposed to trying to get through a list and figure out what's worth talking about. What stuck out to you? What were the announcements you went, oh?
Okay, so the one that kind of floored me, this is going to make you laugh, because the one that floored me was in the pre-show.
Okay.
and I think you're going to know what I'm talking about, but first of all, they said Telltale Games, and I went, wait, what?
Yep.
And then they showed this thing, and I was like, I know what that is. That can't be what that is.
Yep.
I just started watching this. There's no way that's what that is. And it was.
Yes.
And what blew my mind is that Telltale apparently is A, back from the dead,
Right.
And B, he is doing a game based on The Expanse, which is mind-bending.
Yeah, I was not expecting that either when they said Telltale. I was like, oh, I'm really curious, because you knew it wasn't an original IP. You knew it was based off something, because that's what Telltale has said. To be fair, this is like a new iteration of Telltale. The actual Telltale guys are going to be back here in a little bit. They're in a new studio working on another game that was announced. We'll talk about that here in a bit. But this is the new version of Telltale, which is working with Deck Nine, who did Life is Strange True Colors. And so a lot of power behind this game based on The Expanse, which is already a fleshed out, you know, universe and fast. I've watched a couple episodes of it. I need to pick it back up too. But it seems ripe for a Telltale kind of treatment, and it looked really cool.
And the thing that is interesting to me is, this is an Amazon series that we're talking about. We talked a lot about Amazon last week. Amazon series that we're talking about. And I don't know how to say what I'm fixing to say correctly. but The Expanse, from what I've seen so far, is adult.
Yes.
Like, it's not X-rated. But it's adult. It's
definitely mature,
right? Like, we're not talking about DC Comics here. So I'm wondering how that's gonna play out. Like, I really like the idea, and we talked a couple weeks ago about those games are really about the storytelling, and I could do without the press this button right now thing. So, like, I'm way into this. What do you think?
I am too. And remember that Telltale did The Walking Dead and did The Wolf Among Us.
Right.
So they could do mature, you know? they could pull that off for sure. They've done plenty of that as well. It'll be interesting to see how they execute, not based off of a comic book, right? Because almost everything Telltale has done, and what they do so well, is kind of animating comic book into video game form. And The Expanse isn't that. And the look of this game isn't the comic book style of Telltale games. It is a more photorealistic. It's not photorealistic at all, and so I use that term loosely here, but it is more real looking than what Telltale usually does. But it looked really good. Like, the motion capture looked good, the rendering looked good, character models looked good. Like, and so if they can bring their storytelling to the Expanse universe in a new way, and I don't know enough of the show at this point. Again, a couple episodes in of, I think there's like 5 seasons or something, isn't there?
There is, and they're making more.
Yeah. I think it started on Sci-Fi too, didn't it? Or did it start on Amazon?
I think it's an Amazon original. I know it's Amazon now.
It may have been the whole way along. And so anyway, it seems like a fascinating universe to build a game in. With that, let me mention the other game that is being developed by Dramatic Labs, which is a bunch of the old dudes from Telltale, where they went after that, which is also sci-fi. It's Star Trek. They're doing Star Trek Resurgence, which is a very Telltale-looking kind of exploration on Star Trek, which also kind of looked fascinating to me.
It does. But I think it's going to have the problem of every other Star Trek game in that that's just really hard to do.
It really is.
Even when you're trying to tell a story, like watching the trailer and I saw some of the action scenes and the phasers and like, I'm like, yeah, that's not going to be fun.
And that's like, that's where I think like a Telltale kind of approach to it that's more narrative and less action could actually be kind of cool. Now, whether or not they execute that, I don't know. The one Star Trek game that I really, really enjoyed was the what was it called? The Commander one that was VR. That you're just, you know, piloting the ship, and it's like no narrative hardly at all. You know, there's these little encounters and that kind of stuff. It's not really narrative driven at all, but it was a combat either, because Star Trek universe combat is pretty dumb, right? Yeah. Like, it's just not what Star Trek is about. And that's what I feel like anytime a Star Trek game has been attempted, it's like phasers. And you're like, No. Like, Star Wars, you get a lightsaber, and that's cool. There's just nothing in Star Trek that's that kind of cool, because Star Trek was always, you know, about, you know, like...
Exploring.
Exploration and these mishaps that this crew gets into, that they're always, you know, and the characters, you know, like, that's what you remember from Star Trek, is all of the characters. That's what they've really got to execute on. And yeah, we'll see. If anybody could do it, it feels like the Telltale guys would be the people to do it.
If they get Brent Spiner, I'm 100,000% in. Like, yeah.
Yeah, for sure. And then, because I mentioned Star Wars in that conversation, let's talk about the Star Wars game too, because there was a Star Wars game. So we're all over the sci-fi space world here. So this is one we had rumored. I think we even talked about it as a rumor on this show really briefly. Now it's for real. We know it's a thing. Star Wars Eclipse, which is being developed by Quantic Dream, of all people. And so this is a studio behind, most recently, Detroit Become Human. For us, Indigo Prophecy and Heavy Rain, which are games that we adore from back in the day. And then Beyond Two Souls. There was another Quantic Dream game in there. I don't remember what it was. And then Detroit recently, which neither of us have played through, played a little
Beyond.
Bit of. Yeah,
Beyond's
I got that
the
one.
Other one. Yeah.
But anyway, so... The Quantic Dream formula, we talk about the Telltale formula, there's a very much a formula for Telltale. The Quantic Dream formula, they are also a very formulaic developer. Does that work in Star Wars?
No. like, seriously, I'm watching this, and like, it's very clearly a hype trailer. And I'm watching this, and I'm like, yeah. And then I get to the end of it, and my thought was, yeah, it's not gonna work. But it's that, yeah, it's not gonna work feeling of I don't really trust myself at this point, because Disney was right about the Mandalorian. Disney pulled off the Mandalorian,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
So that was totally awesome. And so now I'm looking at the Book of Boba Fett going, but they did it once, and so I kind of want to get into it and feel good about it, but it's really, really uneasy, and that's the way I feel about this.
Yeah, I think that's fair. No secret here that I'm a big fan of Quantic Dream, and so we both are. Love, like, the idea of what they do in the Star Wars universe, and especially the fact that they just make really pretty games, right? Like, just visually, Quantic Dream games are always just stunning. And I want that in a Star Wars game. Like, I want a really beautiful Star Wars game. I think that would be Fallen Jedi was great. And it was, yep. That's when I first saw this popping up. I was like, who is this Fallen Jedi too? Cause I'd get behind that in a heartbeat. But it's also, like, it already has said that this will feature multiple playable characters, which is another Quantic Dream thing. They often have multiple playable characters. And so that makes sense. Will it be familiar characters? They obviously in the trailer showed a lot of familiar characters because they wanted to kind of suck you into that. But are you going to play as any of those characters? Are we going to get to play as Yoda? I hope not. Right? Like, that's the thing is, like, the most successful Star Wars games have been Star Wars games that have gotten away from the things that you know about Star Wars. They're tangentially related, and you know that that world exists, but they take the universe and put you in a different place. Fallen Jedi did that really, really well. This is a character that, if you're deep, deep into Star Wars lore, you knew, but is it Luke Skywalker or whatever? Like, I don't want to play Yoda. I love Yoda, but don't make him a playable character. You know, give me playable characters that are not people I have strong opinions and preconceived notions about, that you'll almost certainly fail my expectations on.
Right. Like, I don't want any of that. Go away. If they show up, then fine. Like, if Yoda shows up, great. Awesome. But I don't want to play him.
Yep. And I hope it's tangential. You know, like, make it a cool little Easter egg. Don't make it the centerpiece of the story is what The Mandalorian did so well, I think. Slight spoiler, but it's been out long enough. Everybody should know at this point when they brought Luke in at the end, right? Like, that was such a cool moment, like a fan service, just this great payoff of like, I know who that is, you know, like when the door's opening up or whatever, you're like, yeah, that's a great way of two seasons into this show of giving you that, not none, because you did get callback to a lot of other characters that you would be familiar with in the Star Wars universe. But Luke obviously is, you know, the character of the Star Wars universe. And so having that kind of payoff at the end of that was so powerful. Because they hadn't been milking it the whole time, right? Like, that's what you can't do. You can't, like, open a game with Yoda and have him being, like, talking to you the whole time. You're going to get real tired of the dude.
Yeah, it's I don't know. I hope. And the other thing that scares me about Quantic Dream is we love their games, but they have a hard time. We were talking about UB the other day. Making a living as a developer of solid 80s games. Yep. And that's where Quantic Dream is at, mm-hmm. right? Like, solid 80s, low 90s if it's really, really, really good. But that makes me uncomfortable because we don't need another bad Star Wars game.
Yes.
Like, we've got some good Star Wars content now. Let's try and limit the bad Star Wars content.
Yes. I agree with that 100%. If it's going to be good, then great. But if it's lackluster, scrap it. Just don't screw up Star Wars. I mean, Star Wars has spread so thin at this point anyway. Like, it's just a billion Star Wars IPs right now that, like, it's already oversaturated. If you're pulling off a game that's likely going to come out around the same time or almost certainly after the remake of Knights of the Old Republic is, which will likely be a very popular and highly reviewed game, right? Like, let's just be real about it. Knights of the Old Republic is fantastic. If they make it pretty and re-release it, it should do really well. That's going to be hard to compete with. You're already kind of, you know, out there in a market that's saturated and has a good game that exists. I hope they don't screw it up. I love Quantic Dream. I love Star Wars. And yeah, I am quite nervous about this match. Yep. Let's see, another nerdiness front, since we did Star Trek and Star Wars, let's do Lord of the Rings. New Lord of the Rings game showed up, which is Gollum, that you get to play stealth action as Gollum / Smeagol. Apparently you get to kind of do both, which, I mean, obviously you do. That's the nature of Gollum, is that he's both. This one, I love Lord of the Rings. Shadow of War, Shadow of Mordor, great games. I don't want to play a game as Gollum. I just don't.
No!
It's just not intriguing to me.
There is loving a franchise and loving something and not needing it in every aspect of your life.
Yes.
Okay? Like, I don't need that.
Yeah.
Like, I'm going to walk around as that little dude for like 5 minutes and then just feel dirty.
Yeah.
Like, just feel, he just makes your skin crawl.
Yeah. Like, that was.
I don't need that.
I think he was really well executed in the movies. Like, I thought they captured well what Gollum is from the books. But it's the worst part of watching those movies because it's very intentionally uncomfortable, right? Like, it's brilliant in how uncomfortable it makes you. Like, they executed it really well because Gollum should make you feel uncomfortable. I don't want to do that for 10, 15, 20 hours of a video game. It just does not appeal to me at all. And maybe the game comes out and it's great, and then, like, everybody's like, you got to play it. But I just don't see it.
And there are things. There are things in culture that I think that sometimes you just need to be smart enough to keep your hands off of. Like, let me give you an example. My parents watch The Voice every single year.
Yeah.
Right? I know you've watched The Voice on occasion. Like, I'm one of those, like, it's on in my house, and so I might walk through and catch a song or whatever, but I don't really care.
Yeah.
And they were doing battle rounds or whatever they call them the other night, and they had these two people battling with hand in my pocket, and I just walked out and I saw what they were doing and literally turned and went back into my room and shut the door. Because you can't do that. And whoever thought that was a good idea on a vocal show is an idiot. Because there are just some songs that you can't cover that.
Yeah.
And that's how I feel about this. There's some stuff you just shouldn't do.
Yeah. Yeah. 100%. Well, again,
tell me I'm not wrong about hand in my pocket. No, nobody should cover that.
No, of course. I would not disagree with you there. Also, a good callback. We're so old. Let's see. On other nerdy stuff, this one... I'm curious about, not excited about yet, but curious about, comic book announcement, Wonder Woman is getting a game, which, I don't know, could be cool. This is actually being done. Like, all of these tie in the weirdest ways. I'm not doing this on purpose, but it just, like, segues so wonderfully. This is being produced, developed by Monolith, who did Shadow of War for Lord of the Rings before. So, there you go. Didn't show any kind of gameplay or anything like that to give you any idea of what the game is. Wonder Woman's one of those characters, kind of like we were talking about with Star Trek, how, like, playing a Star Trek game and watching Star Trek are just so different. Like, it just doesn't translate into a playable thing nearly as well as, say, Star Wars does, which they've made plenty of bad Star Wars games, obviously. But you could translate Star Wars into a video game, I feel like, a lot easier. Of comic book world stuff, Wonder Woman, like, I just don't know, like, translating Wonder Woman into a video game, from, like, the standard comic book beat-em-up kind of formula right now, which, you know, Arkham, Spider-Man, whatever, is great, but Batman's got the gadgets, Spider-Man has the web-slinging, I don't know about the lasso and how you make that quite as compelling.
First of all, we have some women listening, I know for a fact. And so I want to mention the idea that we're two dudes and Hi. We realize that. But now we have a little girl on camera with us. So that
you want to say hi to Jamie real quick? Cred. You don't want to say hi to Jamie?
No, you don't want to say hi to me? Come on, say hi to me. No.
You don't want to show him your fingernails?
No. Let me see.
Can you show him to the camera right there?
Mm-mm.
No.
Okay, oh, right. Well, that's not cool. I totally just want to love you.
Can you at least tell JB hi?
Hi.
I think JB's glasses are freaking her out. Because you can see the reflection.
I'm here. Look. I'm right here.
No.
It's not. I'm not sitting with his glasses.
Oh, yeah.
No.
You're just shy? That's a thing now?
All right. She's never been shy.
We'll just make it a whole disaster.
The whole family picture right here.
I love it.
All right.
It's a gaming uncensored Christmas. That's what that was.
Go get your cat. And I'll see you in a little bit, okay? I didn't even notice this. We're talking comic books. Look at her shirt.
I love it. That's awesome.
All right. Go with mama.
Come on.
I see you in a little bit.
See, she... I just want to mention that she totally gives us girl cred. that was
Yeah,
the
you
most...
were about to say something, and the timing was nice.
Right. Like, but what I was going to say was we're two dudes, and so we can't really... I don't think we can adequately commentate on this.
It is a tricky thing, right? Like, because I really, like, I don't think it's a sexist comment, but we're two dudes, and so it's easy to have those blinders on, you know, that, like,
right.
We just, like, I don't find Wonder Woman as compelling as a video game character. But I'm trying to think of, like, what female comic book character do I think would be more compelling? And I'm kind of at a loss.
I mean...
right?
Yeah, I mean...
We got Harley Quinn. We'll talk about that next. So good transition into something else.
I mean, like, I did not realize this, okay? But I said several weeks ago that I've been watching Smallville, trying to get ready for the new animated series that's coming and all of that. And I've been researching the comic books, and apparently Lana Lang had a really big, serious arc as a superhero in the Superman universe. She's in the movies and in the TV show, this girl, you know. But apparently in the comic book, she was like this sort of superhero. And I don't know enough Superman to really know, but I'm like, that's a hard thing to do.
Yeah.
Unless they have some really good, like, powers or...
Yeah, you need a gimmick, right? Like, that's the thing. That's, like, to be fair, I don't think you can make a good Superman game either, because Superman doesn't really have that gimmick that translates to gameplay as well. And maybe it's just a matter of somebody figuring out how to execute it, right? Like, that's the thing, is, like, we figured out how to execute Batman for a long time. We didn't have good Batman games, and then somebody executed it well, and now we have good Batman games, you know? And not just good Batman games, because we haven't got a good Batman game recently, but so many of the modern comic book games, we'll talk about Suicide Squad here in just a second, very obviously take from what the Arkham series did, right? Like, it's very much inspired by that. And that's hard to do. It's hard to figure out what that thing is. Spider-Man has web slinging, but, like, the Guardians of the Galaxy, let's take that for instance, because we're playing that right now. They have made that into a really compelling game based off of the character interactions and the narrative, not on the gameplay, because they're not intriguing as gameplay elements. And so maybe you can do that with Wonder Woman, that you can make it a really interesting game based off of narrative or whatever. But I just don't see the gameplay side of it as being interesting.
I mean, the narrative could be really interesting, because, I mean, that's what made the first Wonder Woman movie so good, because you got into the idea of the island and all these women, and there's this one that comes out of the group, and so, like, you're right, it could work with the narrative. And I want to mention before we wrap this up, we do have some ladies listening. So, ladies, if you have a comment on this, send us a segment, record some audio with your phone, send it to our email address, gamingonsister@gmail.com. We want to know what you think on this. Because when I saw that, my thought was, you're right, she's exactly like Superman. Like, how do you make that cool?
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
Like, yeah, you could do a beat 'em up, but, like, we need another one of those.
Yeah. Right. Which we're going to get another one of those. Good transition. Suicide Squad, we got some gameplay for, which is very much a beat 'em up, which, like, just looks so much like a modern comic book beat 'em up, which isn't a terrible thing because they're really fun to play. But those characters, A, fit that decently well. But B, you also have the kind of group dynamic with Suicide Squad, kind of like you do with Guardians of the Galaxy, that if Rocksteady could pull it off and write like Guardians of the Galaxy, you know, like Square Enix did for Guardians, they could make Suicide Squad really, really fun, really entertaining, plus have more dynamic gameplay than what Guardians of the Galaxy does. The writing of Guardians of the Galaxy is just phenomenal. They won an award for it. We'll get into that. They did great with that. Like, I don't expect Suicide Squad to be that level, because that's next level. But if they could get close and have more compelling gameplay, that could be a really fun game.
And we probably have some Suicide Squad people out there that'll argue with me, but I don't think the writing in the Suicide Squad movies is as good as Guardians of the Galaxy. And I told you, I'm not a fan of Guardians of the Galaxy. The game is well beyond the writing in the movies, I think. And so if they can do that, like, I got no problem with that.
Yeah. I hope at least can get close. And if they can, and the gameplay is fun. It showed the trailer that showed with the gameplay. Had the Flash in it, which was super cool. That'll be a really fun part of this game, is seeing the kind of combat against all the characters you love, but in a very different kind of world. And so I'm excited about it. Hope it doesn't suck. You know, like, that's the best I can say there. It is Rocksteady, and so they have a good chance to pull it off. It's going to be the Rocksteady formula. We talked about that already, and it works. And so if they can pull it off, hopefully we'll be in good shape. More announcements, but before we get into that, really quick, Gaming Uncensored is brought to you by Fuels.com. We are not going to get through everything, so we're throwing this in here. But Fuels.com, of course, as you guys know at this point, is your source for premium CBD products. They have the tincture, they have the mints, both of which are fantastic. We love this product, use it all the time. I mentioned before we fired up the mics, I had to go to work this morning on a Saturday and had the mints in the car, and goodness, I was glad to have them in the car on my way to work this morning after working all week and then having to get up on Saturday and keep on doing it. So
Fields is pretty much required in our house at this point. We cannot stress this enough. It's one of those products that once you start using it and see how it benefits you, you will be amazed at how your life changes and just the way you get things done. It's a fabulous product. We could gush forever. We're not going to, but you just need to try it for yourself. Fuels.com/GU podcast, and we will hook you up with that first order 50% off. It's fantastic. We love it. You got to try it.
Yeah, absolutely. Like Jamie said, fields.com/GU podcast, FEALS.com/GU podcast, 50% off that first order, plus free shipping. Always nice. And then you can sign up for the membership after that and get 30% off your orders after that. Ours is sitting on our counter above our sink, and it's running low. And the Sexy Sidekick was like, you better get some more of this coming soon, man. It's time. So doing the ad right now reminded me to log in and get that update. So I'm literally updating my Fuels order right now while we're doing this show. So we love them. Great product. Highly recommended. So let's keep going with the announcements. So a handful of other ones that are worth pointing out. Alan Wake 2, that's a big one. We gotta get to that one for sure. And so Alan Wake is this really critically acclaimed game. Did you play Alan Wake? I can't remember.
I did not. It's one that we have to go back to and play, because there's a lot of games that I want to go back and play before I play the next game, but Alan Wake is definitely one of those. But the interesting thing about this is they are not doing the same formula.
Yeah.
We're doing a formula show this week. It's all about the formula. But they are doing a totally different thing, which is very interesting.
Yes. Yeah, it's so the first Alan Wake definitely has kind of horror elements to it. But this one is leaning into that a lot more and making it a horror survival game is how they described it, which is interesting. I don't know how they're going to pull it off. But like, it feels like Remedy could pull it off. Like they're a developer that could do that thing. And the trailer itself was nice and eerie and all those things that you kind of want. Very psychological horror, weird, whatever stuff. But I think that's going to be a big deal.
it's going to be a huge deal because, and we've talked a lot about remakes, this is not a remake. This is a new title of the franchise that is going a completely different direction from the original, which I applaud those guys. And you talked about it being Remedy. Remedy, you may not know their games, but the games that they've got, they don't make mistakes with. Like, yeah. I love Max Payne. I've loved Max Payne my whole life. And anything that they touch, they do well. They know what they're doing. They don't make mistakes. And so I'm excited about this.
Yeah. And of course they did Control recently.
Yes.
Which is great too. Also, was the dude in the thing Jake Gyllenhaal? Like, just
it looks like him.
I could swear that was Jake Gyllenhaal, which I don't know, was weirding me out.
Here in just a little bit, we're gonna get to realism stuff. So yes. That's a very interesting question. I don't know. We need to figure that out. Was it Jake Gyllenhaal?
I think the guy's a little younger because Jake Gyllenhaal is also getting old at this point because we're all getting old. So I think the dude was a little younger than Jake Gyllenhaal. Just looks so much like Jake Gyllenhaal. When it popped up, I was like, what in the world is Jake Gyllenhaal in? Whatever. Speaking of that photorealism thing, I think the prettiest looking game during the whole thing was the new trailer gameplay included here for Hellblade 2, which was just jaw-dropping, just phenomenal looking. Another game we played a little bit of the original, haven't made it through the original game, and so again, probably need to get back to it. It is weird. This is Ninja Theory and doing weird stuff. Just on the kind of cinematic presentation and visual fidelity, just amazing.
What's the release date for that?
I feel like relatively soon, sometime next year. I just had a light flicker above me. That was weird. Let me look and see if it says in here. I don't see it in here.
The reason I bring it up is because you talk about games that I want to go back to. I want to play that. I want to play Senua's Sacrifice before we play this. Because this is very clearly a step up. Senua's Sacrifice is very pretty, but it ain't this.
Yeah.
That's one of those, you talk about a game that's kind of a story-driven kind of a thing and looks good, that's this franchise. So that's one of those games that I would like to get back to now that I have regular help and we're not going to have to worry about weirdness during E3, we can actually keep weird hours and do all kinds of weird stuff. That's one of those games I would like to... I would like to play the next somewhere together because I feel like this next one in the franchise is going to be a big, big, big deal.
Yeah, I think you're right, too. And again, it's just gorgeous, just phenomenal looking. A couple more I'll mention here and then we'll move on. The Texas Chainsaw Massacre is getting a game, which is... okay.
Why?
I don't know.
Why? I don't... Nobody needs that.
Nobody needs that. It is what it is. We got another nice Elden Ring trailer, which is theoretically still coming in February. We talked about it when they did that big gameplay thing here recently, which didn't excite me as much for it. This giving me more kind of story focus did excite me a little bit more. I don't know what to think of this game. We're going to have to play it, obviously. It won the award for the most anticipated game for the second year in a row. It's a big deal.
So he was joking. I don't think he was serious, but Jeff got to the end of the trailer and he literally turned around to look and he was like, okay, does it still say February? Good. It still says February. I know that was a joke. I know he wasn't serious,
but it was funny.
But that's kind of the way we all feel.
Yeah.
And it's got George R. R. Martin signed into it. And like, it's an interesting kind of a thing. And I really, it's kind of that Lord of the Rings thing. Like, I would like some really good high fantasy type stuff.
Yeah.
But a Golem game is not it.
Right.
And I'm not sure if this is it.
Yeah.
Like, I don't want to go high fantasy just to go high fantasy. I like, if I want some really good high fantasy, I'll just fire up Skyrim. And so if you're going to make us wait for 3 years on a game, it better be pretty freaking good, because yes. I've still got Skyrim installed and it takes 2 seconds to fire that up. You know, I mean,
yeah,
that's the problem they have.
Yeah. Which, by the way, the little Bethesda bit that was in there was phenomenal.
Yeah, it was very good.
So I don't remember, like, they weren't announcing anything, I don't think. Like, I don't remember what it was. They said they're hiring, so you can go get a job with Bethesda or one of their developers if you want. But it was just hilarious to mention putting Skyrim out on everything.
Actually, what he said was, we're running out of platforms to put Skyrim on.
And he looked at the camera and shook his head, which was brilliant. Just well executed. I enjoyed that one thoroughly. So, that said, let me see what else. Cuphead's getting new DLC, which I'm thrilled about, because Cuphead was phenomenal.
Yeah.
And
fantastic.
Had a nice little musical number. We'll talk about musical numbers here in a little bit. Dune is getting a real-time strategy game, which...
I'm excited about this because back in the day, there was a Dune Sega CD game that was a real-time strategy game, and there was a PC game that was a real-time strategy game that were both really good. And I mean, way back in the day before PCs had graphics cards. I'm talking, you know, like 1989 or something, because they were making money off of the 1984 movie with Sting, and you know, but both of those games were good. I put way too many hours into both of them, so I'm excited about this. My issue with this is, it makes me laugh because I hung out with my new assistant guy, Jeff, on Thursday, and all he did was talk about Dune for the entire time, because we went and saw the movie, and then he saw 1984 movie on TV. It's like, dude, that franchise is great. And I was like, but see, that's the problem, is that, like, the movie's good, but I'm not sure that it's going to live up to the source material, because it's one of those three-part deals. And that's the thing with this game, is that you can tell they're trying to make it epic and do all this stuff. The end of the day, I think it's just a real-time strategy game. And so there might be some overreach going on there.
Yeah, for sure. Tunic, which has been floating out there forever, has a release date, which is March 16th, which I'm super thrilled about. It looks so good, and we've been watching it for like 5 years now. So good to see a release date on Tunic. Let me see. Just Among Us is coming to VR, which is kind of fascinating. Would be interested to see that. Sonic, we'll get back to Sonic in just a second, but Sonic is getting a new game called Sonic Frontiers that's kind of open world. They call it open zone inspired, which is a 3D Sonic game still to me just doesn't feel like Sonic, but like the franchise is doing well. Good for them.
I mean, they got another movie coming.
So there's a handful of other announcements. Go by the show notes, GameAnSensor.com, to see that. Let's transition really quick on that to a couple of movie/TV things that popped up here too that are obviously gaming based, which will get us into the one other big thing we need to talk about with all this. The Sonic movie got a new trailer. Sonic 2 got a new trailer. I haven't seen the first one. Apparently it's pretty good.
It's really pretty good. I'm gonna get it because I'm the old guy that still has DVDs on Netflix. I'm gonna order
you
that.
Are the old guy.
That out in the next couple weeks. But everybody that I know that saw it really enjoyed it.
Yeah. I need to see if that's streaming somewhere. I think Genevieve would really enjoy that. So I have to check about that. Halo, it's getting a TV series. We knew that. We got the first kind of little teaser of that, which...
Man, that looks good.
It looks good.
I mean, like, I don't want to pay for another streaming service, but I might.
What is that one coming out on?
Paramount Plus.
Is it Paramount? My goodness, yeah. It's so hard to keep up with all these things now. It's ridiculous. Yeah. Paramount Plus. Look at that. Maybe a reason we have to pay for Paramount Plus now on top of everything else we paid for that. And then the end of the show was The Matrix, which was a little bit about The Matrix Resurrection, which they had a trailer for that. But also then to get into the thing that we need to talk about here, they also announced, not a game, a tech demo. It really is a tech demo. That's called The Matrix Awakens. And it's an Unreal Engine 5 tech demo that you can go download right now for free, PlayStation 5 or Xbox. That is pretty fascinating. And so it's our first like real deep dive taste of Unreal Engine 5. And it's in this kind of Matrix thing. And so I fired it up, went through about, spent half an hour, not quite half an hour with it, 20 minutes with it or something like that earlier today, just so we could chat about it. And it's I'm really curious of your thoughts. I have my thoughts. I'm really curious of your thoughts.
So a couple of things. I have all three of the Matrix movies. I went through Hulu yesterday and found them, and I'm gonna start watching The Matrix tonight to prep for The Matrix 4.
Yeah, they're on HBO Plus as well. I know, yes. Because I am about 2/3 of the way through the original movie right now because I'm doing the same thing.
Right, so I'm getting ready for that, and I meant to do that last night. I didn't get it done because I was working, and so this. This demo thing is the first Matrix thing I've seen in a while, and it's really good looking. It's a really, really nice, good looking demo. It's Unreal 5. It's gorgeous. I remember when we saw that first Unreal 5 demo and it just floored us. This is that same kind of level kind of a thing. And as I watched it, I remembered what people on the Game Awards YouTube chat were saying, like, oh yeah, this is proof that we need a Matrix game. I'm going to tell you, I don't want a Matrix game. I'm not interested in that.
We had one.
We had one and it wasn't good.
The Matrix Online was a whole thing.
Yeah. And I'm not interested in another one. And I'm not. People are oogling and ogling about how realistic it looks and how awesome it is. And it does. It looks good. And like, there are times in it where you're watching it going, this is really hard to tell if I'm playing a game or if I'm watching a movie. And that's cool. I just don't know how much of that I want.
Yes, I agree with all of that sentiment. Essentially, on the tech demo stuff, we'll talk a little bit more about the specifics of the tech demo. I would encourage everybody to go get it if you've got an Xbox Series X or a PlayStation 5. Go check it out because it is worth checking. I imagine it's going to be on PC sometime soon.
Yeah.
So wherever you can go get it, I would get it. It does have a little bit of like gameplay to it. It has a little shooting section and that kind of stuff, which is all not good as far as gameplay goes. Again, it's a tech demo. It's not trying to be intriguing gameplay. And then when you get to the kind of open world exploration part of it, you can drive in a car and it's fine, but it's not what it is. It's not supposed to be, you know, an open world game. It is very much a tech demo to show you how they're rendering lights and polygons and all this stuff, which is fascinating in and of itself. But it also reminded me, and being again about 2/3 of the way through the first Matrix movie, which is by far the best of the trilogy, right? Like the other two go downhill pretty quickly. I'm going to watch them anyway. But it's the first time I've watched the Matrix in probably 15 years. It's been a long time, just like you said, that I've had Matrix content. And while I love it, and it was such a part of my childhood, right? Because The Matrix came out like when I was maybe a freshman in high school or something like that. And so it's just like solidified in my youth, this like one of those influential movies of my childhood. It hasn't aged fantastic. It's not awful by any means. And part of it's just This is true. I'm going to get flamed for this, I'm sure. Keanu Reeves, it's just not the best actor, right? Like, he's fine, and he does his thing. He has his, like, niche that's fine, but watching him act sometimes is a little cringy. And a lot of the other people in that movie are a little cringy. Like, it's just not the best acted movie of all time. It's not, I mean, that's not what you remember The Matrix for. But just in, like, modern sensibilities, I'm looking back at it going, this is just a little cringier than I remember. And that same thing happened to me during this little tech demo thing, especially because it's like, hi, I'm Keanu Reeves. I play, you know, Thomas Anderson in the Matrix movies or whatever. And it's this kind of weird back and forth between him being Keanu Reeves and him being Thomas Anderson. That was, I don't know, just at times. And same thing with Carrie Moss in there. Like, just at times, it was just like, that's a little cringy. And so that, to me, was the side of it of, I really am digging Unreal Engine 5. I'm not digging that this is the Matrix necessarily, you know, like the fact that it's the Matrix means very little to me. That part of it wasn't hype for me, but the fact that it was Unreal Engine 5 definitely was.
Greg, you know what I would rather see than this? I would rather see some sort of Babylon 5 something running in this engine. Yeah. or The Expanse or something, some pretty space, something. Like, I love The Matrix. I'm gonna watch them all.
Of course.
I'm gonna go to the theater and see the new one. And you shouldn't get flamed for saying that, because Keanu's never been a great actor.
Is that what he does?
He has made his money and done his thing being a fantastic action star. He's yes. great at that.
Yes.
He's better at being John Wick than he is anything else. Yes. Like you can debate me on whatever else you want, but he is John Wick. Like that there's no question in my mind that John Wick is the greatest character he has ever played, because he trains for it. Like that's the thing, is like he, all of the stuff you see in John Wick, he can do that stuff. Like, that's what scares me about Keanu Reeves, is at this point, he can kill somebody if you met him in a dark alley, you know? Like, he is John Wick, and so I don't feel bad about saying that he's not a great actor. It's that, and I don't even really feel that bad about the look of The Matrix. It's that I don't know how real I want to get with any of this.
Right. Like, yeah, for sure. That was the whole, like, gimmick of this thing, is like, video games are basically reality now, and how do you tell the difference between them? And this is getting into the kind of tech demo part of this. The things that it did well, the environment, the lighting, the traffic and pedestrian generation, all this kind of stuff that they talked about, is great. What didn't blow me away was the character models. And that's what they pitched it on. Like, Keanu and Carrie Ann Moss were like, hey, this is all about photorealistic skins and you know, not being able to tell the difference between, you know, like, people and video games or whatever. And it does look great, but the character models to me weren't any better looking than a lot of the games that are out right now. It wasn't that part of it that floored me. It was the environmental part of it that really floored me, that I thought they executed incredibly well in this tech demo. And it's so tricky, because there is that uncanny valley that we've talked about. And it wasn't quite uncanny valley, which was good, but it was on this side, not the other side of the uncanny valley, right? Like, it was on the side where it's not so close to being real that it's creepy. It was still like, okay, that's pretty obviously computer generated. Pretty computer generated, again, not knocking it as a game, but it's just that part of what they showed tech-wise is a substantial difference in what a game looks like right now.
And if you want to debate us on this, I challenge you to look at the pedestrians.
Oh, like, yeah, they're awful.
The pedestrians, like, they're just not there.
Yeah, and that's,
fine, because there's lots of them.
Yeah.
And so I understand that, like, the stuff going on in this engine with the lights and with all the people.
Yes.
And all the cars and all that. Like, it's insane.
If you take the people out of it and you're just looking at the environment, it's hard to tell it's a video game. Like,
yeah.
It is convincing. Like, the lighting effects are just amazing. Like, it's really, really darn impressive. And it makes me very, very excited for the future of games. It is always going to be weird that there is going to be an obvious step down of the photorealism of the environment and the photorealism of the characters. And I've been playing a little bit of Forza Horizon when I got a chance, which has been several weeks ago now. But it's a really good example of this same thing. That, like, the cars in Forza and the environment in Forza are just gorgeous, and the character models are just not, you know? And it's not a game about character models. You barely see your character model. But when you do, it's like, oh, yeah, right. They, you know, like, that, they did not put work into that. But the cars are gorgeous, you know? And that's what, like, that's going to be the trick. But, like, of everything I saw at the Game Awards, Hellblade 2 looks better character model-wise than the Unreal Engine 5 tech demo does.
That's correct, sir.
Like, those character models were fabulous. The environment in that Unreal Engine tech demo is better than anything else we saw. But character models-wise, it just, yeah. But it's super exciting for what games are going to be.
I really think that there's going to be, maybe not everybody, maybe this is just an us thing, but I don't play video games for realism at this point.
Of course.
Like,
yeah.
I got enough realism all around me. Like, I don't need more realism. And so, yeah, to me, the environment is the bigger deal. This whole thing of can you tell this is a character or a person, like, I don't think I'm ever going to care.
Yes.
Because when that gets really sketchy is when it gets implemented into something like Grand Theft Auto, and, you know, you're doing all the awful stuff you do in Grand Theft Auto, and I don't want to deal with that morally.
Yeah, I need to make sure those don't look like real people. Yeah. I need to be able to tell a difference there, which is good.
Yeah.
That segues these decently well into to quickly talk about the award winners, because I just want to make this point that made me think about this as I'm looking at all the nominees right now for the Game of the Year award winners. There are six nominees. Reminder, Deathloop, It Takes Two, Metroid Dread, Psychonauts 2, Ratchet & Clank, Resident Evil, Village. Of those six, only two of them are arguably close to kind of that photorealism approach, which are Deathloop and Resident Evil. And Deathloop is highly stylized, even in its more approach to photorealism. So really only Resident Evil is in that kind of ballpark. And those character models are over the top and ridiculous too. And so obviously making photorealistic character models is not a necessary thing for having a great game, because none of these are that example. And four of them, It Takes Two, Metroid, Psychonauts, and Ratchet and Clank, are all very, very stylized. Not like the most impressive tech games. Ratchet and Clank, I take that back. Ratchet and Clank is the most impressive tech game that's out there right now, I would say.
And I could be wrong, but I don't think it won a single thing. Which
I don't think so either.
I don't understand that at all. It's
fantastic.
Like, you got to throw those guys something, because they did an amazing job.
For sure. So that said, the Game of the Year went to It Takes Two, the Hazelight indie game. Hazelight. Now, this is my conspiracy theory on the Game Awards right here. Joseph Ferris has had this, like, you know, thing with Jeff Keighley for the Game Awards for several years now, when he said F the Oscars, which he repeated at his acceptance of this. But, like, Joseph Ferris is kind of the darling of the Game Awards. And so, like, it feels like this was rigged a little bit to make sure Joseph Ferris had an excuse to get up there in front of the microphone.
I will give him credit, because he did the whole Kirk Cousins thing. Like, he's pointing in the camera, and I'm wondering, is he saying, "You like that?" I mean, just like Kirk Cousins, you know? Yeah. You like that?
Yeah.
I didn't know what he was saying, but it was fabulous.
Yeah. Dude's super entertaining. And It Takes Two is apparently a very, very good game. And so we definitely need to play this co-op game, which is all these Hazelight games are. But very, very good game. Again, shocking that it was Game of the Year, but whatever. Best game direction was Deathloop. Yeah, can definitely see that one.
Yep. Fair.
Best narrative was Guardians of the Galaxy. And so well done, as we talked about, just as well written of a game as we've played in forever. And so good job on them. Best art direction went to Deathloop. Let me see. Best audio design went to Forza 5. So did the accessibility award, which was cool.
So can we talk about that just for a quick second? I really appreciate Jeff for putting that in there, because he had to sign off on all of these. And I'm curious about Guardians now, because it has an accessibility feature that I didn't know was in there that might actually make me able to be able to play it. I don't know. But the fact that he threw that in there is really amazing, because these people are at least trying. I mean, they have accessibility features. And if I'm really honest, Control has the best accessibility features of any game I've ever seen in my life. And I've only played a couple hours of that. I really need to get back to that. And so these guys that may or may not really know about accessibility are really trying.
Yeah.
And it makes me feel good as a handicapped guy that I might actually be able to get a job with one of these companies and be like, hey, what if you did this? I just really love that people are trying. Like, I can see lots of different things they could do that they're not, and they're getting the stuff that they're putting in right now is pretty basic, but it's a start.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, for sure. And just like you said, good on Jeff for featuring that prominently and them talking about it for them. You know, like, they did a whole bunch of awards that were just like, Jeff, and here are the nominees, and the winner is, and here are the nominees, and the winner is, and here, you know, they didn't do that for this one. They had an acceptance speech. The Forza guys, you know, talked about how much of a priority this was in their development of the game. And just, yeah, it's a big deal. It's really important. I will never forget when we had, I'm going to forget his name. What's the guy from Able Gamers that we had on years ago now?
Steven.
Well, we had Steven on the show a long time ago. We were talking about this very topic, obviously, and Able Gamers featured prominently in this as well. I made some, you know, off comment of like, you know, I don't have to deal with these issues, but, you know, I appreciate what you're doing. And he said, you don't have to deal with these issues now. But almost everybody at some point in their life is going to have something that is going to prevent them from playing a game like they do when they're 20, 30, 40 years old, whatever it is, you know, like, and that has stuck with me, like, as somebody who is currently, you know, not dealing with any disabilities, able body, can play games however I want to. That may not always be the case. It almost certainly won't always be the case. It's just a matter of when, not if. And so even if you are someone that is like, okay, I get it, that's cool, but it doesn't affect me, probably will.
It will.
And by the time it affects you, you are probably going to want there to be good accessibility options in video games. And so, yeah, it's a big deal for everybody. I appreciate it, too, that they made a big deal about it.
Yep.
That said, really quick, best action game was Returnal, which Returnal got a little bit of love, which was cool. Best action adventure was Metroid Dread. There's where Metroid got a little bit of love, and Doug Bowser got to come up and accept that one, which was fun. Best role-playing game was Tales of Arise. That was Cyberpunk's two categories with that, and Score didn't win either one of them. And so Keanu Reeves did have a great showing as a video game character at the Game Awards, but had a good showing as Keanu Reeves at the Game Award. There's lots of other ones. Again, go by the show notes, gamingandcensored.com, to see that. The best family game, I just enjoy this, was It Takes Two, which makes sense. If that's game of the year, it's certainly best family game. But I love the fact that the best family game was developed by the guy that went up and said F the Oscars, you know, again.
And like, he's somebody that, you know, every 30 seconds is some sort of It's some sort of profanity. I love the guy. I think he'd be fun to hang out with, but it's like, really?
Yeah. Yeah, for sure. Yeah. Go by the show notes, gabriassister.com, because there's a ton of stuff there we obviously didn't get to. One thing I do need to mention just really quick. Releases, there is one big one. Also won an award, which is a little shocking to me, for the Fans' Choice Award was Halo Infinite. The campaign of Halo Infinite is out now as of 2 days ago, 3 days ago. The multiplayer has been out for a couple weeks before that. Currently, Halo Infinite is sitting at an 86 on Metacritic. And everything I've heard about the campaign is people really, really dig it. And so I'm kind of jonesing at this point to fire up Halo because I just haven't had a chance to with my busyness. It's downloaded and installed, and I've, you know, played a little bit of multiplayer on it just to see it. But I'm really excited to get into the campaign on that guy.
I'm still playing the Master Chief Collection, so it's going to be a while for that. But that's one of those that is perpetually going to be on Game Pass.
Yes.
So I'm not too worried about that.
Which, man, how fantastic is it that that thing's on Game Pass, right? Like, that's like every cent I've paid to Game Pass at this point is worth it for getting Halo day one.
I'm very excited that all of the Halo games are on Game Pass at this point, and it's something that I can just kind of pick up and play for 30, 40 minutes here and there and go do something else and then pick up and play for 30, 40 minutes. And I mean, I'll touch it for 2 weeks, but it's there
because
it's Game Pass and it's not going anywhere. And I just love it. It's great. It's one of the best moves that Microsoft's ever made. Plus, an 86 on Metacritic is not probably what they want, but I feel pretty good about that for Halo 5.
I'm perfectly happy with a solid mid-80s Halo game. Like, Halo is one of those ones that's just fun, you know? Like, it's just fun. And so I don't need it to be the best game ever made for it to be fun to play. And so that, Guardians, and a billion other things are on our short list right now.
Yeah. I was thinking during this show, during the Game Awards, how many of these games that we have that we actually need to finish? Like, we have like 10 or 12 games at this point that are started that we really need to finish. I have no idea how we're ever going to get it done. But we're in that space, and that's something that we've never been in as a show. And I really love it because we've played enough that we can be able to talk about this stuff. Now it's just a question of when do we have time to finish all these games. So it's a good problem to have. That being said, we have got a lot of stuff that we did not talk about. So please go by the website, check out the show notes, because we missed a lot of stuff. There was a lot of show, a lot of stuff going on. And just go by and check that out. You know where the Facebook page is. You know where the Twitter is. Go by and check that stuff out because we're there and we're paying attention. The holidays are coming. We will be together. So definitely come hang out with us because we will be around in the next couple weeks. So just enjoy that. And for right now, I think that's it. I'm Jamie. That's Tommy. This is another episode of Gaming Uncensored, and we are out.
Would you like to submit a segment for the show? Send it to gamingUncensored@gmail.com. And don't worry, we'll play just about anything. Gaming Uncensored.